Hello. We're here today to look at chapter 17 of the Tao Te Ching. I titled it Effective and Ineffective Leadership. The greatest leaders. People simply know they exist. Next come the leaders. People feel close to and respect. After that come the leaders. People fear. Finally, there are the leaders people insult and ridicule. When a leader does not have enough trust, there is also no trust in the leader. When leaders talk excessively, going on and on, they put too much value on their own words. An excellent leader serves by satisfying needs. When needs are satisfied, people are empowered. And so they say, we did it ourselves. First of all, after how deeply we've been focused in the spiritual with the previous chapters, especially starting with chapter 10 all the way through chapter 16, this chapter seems to kind of bounce back to the world. You know, might even seem like a little bit of a shock compared to how deep we've been in this spiritually. But of course, we want to remember that the Tao Te Ching was written for leaders, right? It was written for the emperor's officers and officials. So it makes sense that it keeps circling around to leadership. However, this chapter is not as solely practical as it may at first seem. So we're going to look at this chapter a little more deeply. It won't take long. It is a simple chapter, but we're going to look at this chapter a little more deeply. The first four lines are really kind of ranking types of leaders, from the best type of leader to the worst type of leader, or as I called it, the most efficient to the least efficient. Or the most effective, I think I said, most effective to the least effective. So the most effective, the greatest leaders, people simply know they exist. So what you could really say about this is these leaders are not in the people's everyday business. Right? They're, if we're talking about a leader in a company, for example, this is not a leader that micromanages. In fact, this is a leader that might hand down a task and then say, what do you need to accomplish that? And when the lower level manager says, well, I think my people are going to need some training in this particular software. I'm going to need this particular tool, which we don't have. So I'm going to need a budget adjustment. And maybe I have one more position I need to hire with this expertise that we don't have. And the upper leader says, okay, I'll make that happen. And then works with whoever else they need to work with to bring those tools in so that this lower level manager can be successful in the objective. You know, I'm always reminded of that song, The Wind Beneath My Wings, right? The most effective or the most efficient leader is the one that's like the wind beneath the wings of the people who work for them so that those people can soar. When the people who work for you soar, you know, you soar, your objective soars, your company soars, right? So that's what this first line is really pointing to. The greatest leaders, people simply know they exist, right? They're not in my face. They're not in my everyday business. Next come the leaders people feel close to and respect. So these leaders might be a little more parental in their leadership style. And in fact, if we look at the Chinese word for word, it next in sequence, which means the next leader, it next in sequence, parent, intimate, that character could mean parent or it could need mean intimate. I translate it as people feel close to and respect. But the reason this is not as good as the previous type of leader is people might also begin to use this leader as a bit of a crutch. They might not become quite so independent. They might run to the leader more, needing help with this or help with that, right? They're not quite so independent. Now, the next level of leader, after that, come the leaders that people fear, right? A leader that people fear is using, strong words. I mean, even in some countries, you can be assassinated if you don't do what the leader tells you to do, right? If you're one of the leader's officials or officers. In companies in America, you might get yelled at, or you might not get your bonus, or you might get ridiculed in a staff meeting or something like that. And so, you know, in order to keep that leader happy out of fear, you do your job. So you're getting the job done to the best of your ability. So in a way, objectives are still being accomplished. But what's going on within the employees is not good. And in fact, if it's a company we're talking about, there's lots and lots of turnover in this type of company. And then, of course, finally, the least effective type of leader, there are the leaders people insult and ridicule. This is the incompetent person, right? This person is absolutely incompetent. Not sure how they got that job, how they got in the leadership position. They're an idiot. They don't know anything. Everybody makes fun of them, right? and if we've worked in a lot of places, for example, we may have known many of these types of leaders. But I want to go back to that first line. The greatest leaders, people simply know they exist. Let's look at the greatest leaders for a moment and see what makes a person the greatest leader. Whenever we're looking at the Tao, remember, we don't want to look at this chapter alone. In fact, the original Tao Te Ching, I'm told, was not divided into chapters. It was just one long transcript, right? Somebody along the way later divided it into chapters. So if it's one long transcript, it really does all go together. What I want to do is flip back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 was called The Value of Emptiness. 30 spokes share one hub, but it is the hub's emptiness that makes a useful vehicle. Mix water with clay and you've made a vessel. However, emptiness is the true usefulness of the vessel. Chisel out a door and windows and you've created a room, yet the usefulness of the room arises from its emptiness. Therefore, manifestations have benefit, but emptiness is truly useful. If we take this chapter and go back to the first line of chapter 17, the greatest leaders, people simply know they exist. What the Tao is really talking about is the empty leader, the leader that is in tune with the Tao, intuitively paying attention to the Tao, and leading from being centered in the Tao, which means emptiness, right? They are empty and listening for what cannot be heard, you know, reaching for what cannot be touched, seeking what cannot be seen, and they're getting insight from that formless Tao. And that insight is how they're running their organization. Now, I will tell you from my own experience, because I have endeavored to the absolute best of my ability for the last 20 years to be this way, right? To be empty, find that guidance, and follow that guidance. And it has led me to do many things. But there are some consistencies about it that I recognize. One of those consistencies about guidance is that It is like the leader, the greatest leader. People simply know they exist, and that it is not wordy. It is not coercive. It guides you to do a certain thing. It provides that particular guidance. But it doesn't beat you over the brow saying that you have to do that. It's very gentle, very quiet, very still. And the way that you hear it is by wanting to hear it. And the only way that you can follow it is by wanting to follow it. Because the ego voice is really more like the leader that leads people through fear. The ego voice, once you receive some type of guidance, the ego voice will often come in telling you that you can't do that, you're not capable of doing that, you don't have the resources to do that, you know, whatever it needs to say to scare you. People are going to think you're an idiot if you try and do that. And so by listening for that voice that just gives me the guidance that I need and is not overpowering and in my face, I find that true leader. And by following that true leader, I become like that true leader because it's going to lead me to be like it. In other words, if I am trying to control things, I'm listening to my own inner voice of fear. I'm not listening to this subtle, still, quiet voice that is the Tao. Also, well, before I say what I want to say next, let me look at this next line. When a leader does not have enough trust, there is also no trust in the leader. There were different ways this could have been translated. In fact, if we look at the word for word, and the Chinese character said, trust not sufficient then, which again, I translated as when a leader does not have enough trust, there is no trust thereupon. And it doesn't say thereupon what. Some people may have translated that when a leader does not have enough trust, the leader also has no trust in the people. I translated that as when a leader does not have enough trust, there is also no trust in the leader. But I actually think it is a triangle. If I do not trust the Tao, I am also not going to trust my people. And in some way, they're going to feel that. And as a result, they're not going to fully trust me. So trust is really a triangle here. And what I trust primarily is the Tao. Even when I'm trusting the people, I'm trusting the people because I trust the Tao, right? It is the Tao that I am trusting. So when a leader does not have enough trust, there is also no trust in the leader. When leaders talk excessively, going on and on, they put too much value on their own words. I love the Chinese character because the Chinese character meant long drawn out, exclamation point. You know, the leader is long drawn out and his, her expensive words or speech put too much value on their own words. If I'm putting too much value on my own words, I'm also putting too much value on myself, which means that I'm not putting enough value on the Tao, right? Personal will is important to me. I think I'm great. This is why I'm talking so much, right? When leaders talk excessively, going on, they put too much value on their own words. So these last two lines have shown us some weaknesses of the leaders who are not following the Tao. One, they don't have enough trust, therefore there's not enough trust placed in them. And two, they value themselves too much, right? An excellent leader, now we'll look at how the excellent leader serves. An excellent leader serves by satisfying needs. Again, I do trust the people. So I fill the gaps. You know, they work for me. There may be some things they need. I fill those gaps to help them out, but then I trust them to do the job. I'm not in there micromanaging. I'm not looking over their shoulder. I trust them. I satisfy their needs and trust them. When needs are satisfied, people are empowered. And so they say, we did it ourselves. There was another way I could have translated that last line. We did it naturally. And I like that too, because naturally really shows that they were also inspired by the Tao. You know, so it felt very natural in the way they were able to accomplish their goals. So even though this chapter seems to take a turn away from the spiritual of the previous chapters and back to the leadership context, it really doesn't. Because what it's saying is the greatest leader is the one that is centered in the Tao. Because it trusts the Tao, it also trusts the people. Because it trusts the people trust the leader. The leader assists the people by satisfying their needs and then steps back. They don't hear too much from the leader because they are trusted to do their job. And then they feel good about themselves, right? They say, we did it ourselves. Or maybe even more, they're learning to trust the Tao themselves. And they say, we did it naturally because it came from the nature of the Tao. You know, one of the things that I was guided to do in the last 20 years of following guidance was to start a nonprofit organization called the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, which later became an online church called Awakening Together. I know this all sounds very, very Christian, those particular terms, church and Holy Spirit. But the mission of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, and therefore the mission of Awakening Together, is to help people become self-reliant with their own inner wisdom. That's what I really think this chapter is pointing to. This chapter is saying the effective leader is centered in the Tao, and through their leadership style, they are doing just enough to help others become reliant on the Tao or self-reliant with the Tao. In other words, if we do too much for others, we are not giving them the opportunity to learn to tune within. Instead, they're reliant on us. We don't want them to be reliant on us. We want them to be reliant on the Tao. So how does this chapter affect us if we're not leaders in some way? I guess if you think you're not a leader in some way, I would question that. You know, do you have children, including adult children? Do you trust them? You know, if they're adult children, do you trust them to live their own lives, or are you in their business all the time? We could say if you're in their business all the time, that's a sign that you do not trust the Tao. Because if you trusted the Tao, you would also trust your adult children. With little children, with small children, are we giving them just what they need and then letting them do the rest for themselves? I remember when my daughter was around 3 years old, she started taking swim lessons. And when we went to the place where the pool was, it was an indoor pool, and we went into the locker room and all the other three-year-olds are in there, you know, getting their bathing suits on. What I noticed was that Jasmine, my daughter, was literally the only one who was taking off her clothes by herself and putting on her bathing suit by herself. And if she had trouble, you know, getting her arm in the suit because it's tight, well, I would reach over and help her with that. But everything she could do on her own, I let her do on her own. And I noticed all the other parents taking the kids' clothes off, putting the kids' bathing suit on, and the kid was basically just standing there so they can put my arm up when mama says to, right? You know, how are we as parents? Are we letting them do as much as they can and only filling the gaps so that they can grow? I remember when I first received the guidance to trust everyone, it frightened me. That shows how little trust I had in the Tao or in God at the time. Somehow I thought if I trusted people, something bad would happen. The very first way this connected in my mind in order to help me learn to trust people was that I could always trust people to follow their own thoughts. And I found that to be true, right? No matter what their thoughts were, whether their thoughts were positive thoughts or negative thoughts, I could always trust people to follow their own thoughts. And then I was taking another step. I could also trust that people, when they were ready, would begin to listen to something else beyond their own thoughts. You know, whether we call that the Holy Spirit, whether we call that the Tao, whether we call that God, whether we call that intuition. And I found that that was true. That when there was this readiness that developed in someone, they would begin to look to shift from listening to their thinking all the time to listening to something else. And then I was moved to see that everyone is right where they're supposed to be. And I could trust them to be where they are perfectly. And that's when I really began to trust the Tao. Because I didn't need people to behave in a certain way to trust them. Because I trust the Tao. And I trust that there's a balance or a harmony that I may not always be able to see with my eyes. And that everything is moving in the right direction. All right, so here is Jonathan Starr's verse 17 or chapter 17. To know Tao alone without trace of your own existence is the highest. Next comes loving and praising it, the Tao. Then fearing it. Then despising it. If one doesn't trust himself, how can he trust anyone else? The great ruler speaks little and his words are priceless. He works without self-interest and leaves no trace. When all is finished, the people say it happened by itself. So this is really interesting because even though this chapter in the Tao is clearly talking about leaders, if you look at the characters, Jonathan Starr, who is very interpretive, changed this instead of being about leaders to being about my relationship to the Tao. To know Tao alone without a trace of my own existence, without a trace of self, is the highest. Next comes loving and praising the Tao, but as a person, right? Then fearing it, being afraid of the Tao. Then despising it, that's the lowest, right? If one doesn't trust himself, how can he trust anyone else? And in this context, trusting myself would be trusting that guidance I feel and not doubting it. The great ruler speaks little and his words are priceless. He works without self-interest and leaves no trace. When all is finished, the people say it happened by itself. So trust keeps coming up, both in Jonathan Starr's and in my translation. So I would say the assignment is to look and find where trust is lacking, or we could say, or where trust could be strengthened, either way. So whether it's trusting other people, like trusting my adult children to live their own lives, trusting my employees to accomplish their own job without me telling them every little detail, do it my way, right? Or it could be trusting myself and my own guidance and my own intuition with the Tao. I'm going to let you look and see where you think there's room for improvement in trust. And then when you find that place where there's room for improvement in trust, go back to chapter 11 and contemplate that. Because chapter 11 is about emptiness. Trust and emptiness go together. Lack of trust and thought and self-will go together. Again, trust and emptiness go together. The more empty I become, the more natural my trust is. Doubt, thought, self-will, they all go together. So the more attached I am to my self-will, the way I think things should be, the thinking that is going on here, the less I'm going to trust somewhere, whether it's less trusting myself or less trusting someone else. Again, look for where there's room for improvement with trust in your situation. Then go back and contemplate chapter 11 and realize that the more emptiness there is here, the more trust there will naturally be. And you might even be able to look at the thinking that's happening in the mind, because that isn't emptiness. And you might even see specific thoughts that are leading you not to trust. You can say, oh, that I'm paying attention to that line of thinking. This is why I don't trust. You might even write out some of those thoughts. Get them out in front of you so you can look at them very, very clearly and say, this is what I'm believing, and this is why I'm having trouble with trust in this area. That will give you plenty to do. And I will see you when we come back next for chapter 18. Bye.